Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual, Jim. And when it comes to the message coming from the White House, if you listen to the president's speech, I guess it was yesterday in Maryland, talking about how he's out there fighting for the common man, and he's just trying to make sure everything's working great for the American people. It kind of contrasts to a quote in the Wall Street Journal, which of course came from a unnamed senior administration official. But the quote, when it comes to how long the shutdown could last, the official said, quote, "We're winning. It doesn't really matter to us because what matters is the end result." And so if the end result is getting what's good for the American people, then I guess they might be able to spin it that way. But when winning is the first word out of your mouth, practically, it's hard to believe that.
To give you a sense of how this is going, Jay Carney, press secretary, has just had an exchange on Twitter a couple minutes ago in which he says, "We utterly disavow the idea that the White House doesn't care when it ends. House should act now, no strings attached, just vote, yada, yada." But let's observe, as, you know, as John Gabriel just summarized, the White House has just disavowed the White House. Or more specifically, this senior administration official is going to be disavowed from the podium by Carney. But he's saying basically what we all kind of expected was the mentality of the White House, which was that, look, they think they politically benefit from the shutdown. And so they feel like they won't, you know, that for them, this is good news. Then it's going to end someday, so who cares whether someday is tomorrow, or who cares if someday is 2 weeks from now, or who cares if someday is a month from now, or even beyond that. Kind of the theme of our good martinis for the week has been that as much as the Republicans have gotten themselves into a tough spot with the government shutting down, they have been helped enormously by the exceptional bad judgment of the Democrats, who come across as callous and craven and obsessed with partisan maneuvering. This quote from the unidentified senior administration official in the Wall Street Journal is a good example of it. The Harry Reid statement is a good example of it. The shutting down of the World War II Memorial is a good example of it. As somebody who really did not want to see the government shut down and doesn't think that there's a good, clear strategy of how Republicans get something, you know, what the concession that they're really holding out for, where they're, you know, I'd use the red line metaphor is, but I guess that's kind of been kind of been largely debunked as an effective metaphor of thresholds, isn't it, Greg?
Probably so.
You know? So we, you know, what's our win, you know? But look, as long as the Democrats keep saying and doing things that are quite foolish like this, it's going to end up being, I suspect, a political wash. And probably no better example of this: the cover of The Economist shows Mount Rushmore as a cartoon, Thomas Jefferson looking very skeptically at a bickering Obama and Boehner. And Obama's already complaining that the, you know, public is blaming both sides, and he says it should all be on the other side. This is a scenario familiar to all parents. You turn around and they're fighting, and I started it, he started it. You say, "I don't care who started it, I will turn this car around right now." And that is where a lot of Americans are sitting right now. So what could and should have been a political disaster for Republicans is probably going to be a disaster for both parties and, you know, Washington in general.
There are new polls out showing that basically the American people are looking at this as a pox on both your houses. The numbers are a little bit more negative. About, I think it was 69% don't like the way Republicans are doing it, 58% don't like the way Democrats are doing it, which is obviously really bad. But the numbers are pretty much the same as folks were when asked about it hypothetically before the shutdown. So it doesn't appear that the shutdown at this point has shifted the numbers much at all. And given the way the numbers were expected to trend, like you said, Democratic gaps definitely have leveled the playing field to some extent here. On to martini number two now, and let's shift over to crazy since we're already on shutdown talk. And of course, one of the things we've been talking about all week, and Jim just referenced, was the completely unnecessary shuttering of the National Mall and memorials that are open-air facilities and so forth that are never under lock and key, and really can't be under lock and key when the government's funded and there aren't people there 24 hours a day. And so there's been these showdowns between members of Congress, moving barricades, allowing Honor Flight World War II veterans in and so forth. I think it was yesterday, Texas Congressman Randy Nagebauer was caught on camera basically giving a mild tongue-lashing to one of the National Park Service rangers, saying, "You should be ashamed of yourselves for doing this." And she says, "I'm not ashamed, but it's very difficult." And he says, "No, you should be ashamed." And so apparently Joe Biden called this ranger, and the quote from the vice president's Twitter feed is, I'm proud of you. So I don't know if he's proud of her for doing her job, proud of her for good job keeping the vets out of the park. Jim, I think in addition to the senior administration official, unless that was Biden too, the more he's out there, the better it is for everybody except the administration, I think.
Greg, I guess we can't rule that out now, can we? Now, if the quote had used the word literally, we don't care. Well, we're literally winning, you know, that might have suggested. Let me tell you about Amtrak, you know, or something like that. That might have been a more likely scenario than suggesting that it's Biden. You know, let me say, first of all, the National Park Service rangers who are on duty at the World War II Memorial are in a very tough spot right now. Because if you ask them, do you want to shut down the World War II Memorial? I'm sure every single one of them would say, hell no. And they have been, you know, ordered to do this from above, from the Office of Management and Budget of the White House. So, if you're a park ranger, do you refuse to do your job? You know, because at that point you could, you know, potentially lose your job. I think what you have to do is try to do this in the most respectful way possible. And they said that they're allowing the honor flights into the memorial, but not allowing the public at large. I don't really like that. And as many people have pointed out, this isn't a museum. This isn't a building where you would lock it. It's an open space. So the only, you know, the argument is, well, we need people on duty with CPR, and we need people to sweep the leaves out and stuff like that. Well, you can get volunteers. You know, if you said, dear Americans, we need someone to sweep out the leaves from the World War II Memorial, how many people would line up to do that, Greg?
Plenty.
Rather than see this, rather than see people get shut out of it. And then the next thing is, regarding CPR, there was an effort earlier this week to get people who have CPR training to do shifts. You know, I mean, there are a lot of Americans who do not want to see their memorial shut down, and they will make a little sacrifice, do a little help, particularly if this is a short-term shutdown. If it stretches on and on, then maybe this is not a long-term solution. I do kind of feel bad for that. Yeah, so I think that congressman was rather grandstanding, just kind of say, you know, you should be ashamed. Look, you know, that National Park Service ranger who's there, you know, in their little hat and uniform, doesn't make the rules. Take it up with the Obama administration, because the order's coming up from higher on the food chain. Having said that, I don't know if this park ranger needs a, you know, there, it'll be okay phone call from the vice president either. And I don't think that, you know, that person's a hero. And I would just say, finally, Greg, when it comes to not allowing a World War II veteran to approach the memorial that's in their honor, and you are in a tough spot because of the instructions from your superiors, never, ever say, I was just following orders.
Especially there, yeah. Not
heard it before.
Yeah, that's definitely not the right terminology to use for folks who served heroically, especially in that conflict. All right, on to martini number three now, and obviously that leaves us with the bad martini. And we've talked a lot about the exchange glitches this week, the number of people, and that number is very low, who have actually enrolled in Obamacare. And we've also referenced from time to time the privacy risk of folks putting their personal information on these sites. And I think a lot of folks are still a little bit unsure as to why there's such a security risk there. Well, John McAfee of McAfee Antivirus fame was speaking with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business last night and laid it out pretty clearly about some of the steps that were not taken but obviously should have in setting up these exchanges.
Anybody can put up a web page and claim to be a broker for this system. There is no central place where I can go and say, here are all the legitimate brokers and examiners for all of the states, and pick and choose one. Instead, any hacker can put a website up, make it look extremely competitive, and because of the nature of the system, and this is healthcare after all, they can ask you the most intimate questions and you're freely going to answer them. What's my Social Security number? My birth date? I will predict that the loss of income for the millions of Americans who are going to lose their identities. I mean, you can imagine some retired lady in Utah saving her whole life, having it wiped out in one day because she signed up for Obamacare. And believe me, this is going to happen millions of times.
So, Jim, the thought of shopping on these exchanges and considering a site that's not even a legitimate operator here should be terrifying to a lot of people. And the fact that there's not a place where you can go to find out who's legitimate and who's not seems like a gigantic oversight.
You know, it's kind of striking here, but every time I've gone onto the site and it comes to the part where they want your personal information, even just the email, because no one wants to get, you know, everyone kind of figures they'll get deluged with spam or something like that. And as somebody who runs a you know, email newsletter, I understand how wary people are about getting unsolicited emails. why can't you just kind of plug in, like, I am a, you know, this age group, this, they ask you for your location. Okay, no problem. This, which state do you live in? They ask you for age, your family situation and circumstances. Like, why can't you just plug in stuff without who you are? You know, specific identifying information to look at the options that would be available to you. And nobody has a very particularly good answer for that question. Over on another part of National Review Online, Greg Polowitz has this argument from Robert Lazuski, a consultant and former insurance executive. And he says, look, this is not a glitch. A glitch is a minor problem. The real story is that the Obama computer systems simply are not working. It's not a matter of it being popular. It's not a matter of high web traffic. It's a matter of the way that the software and the entire interaction of all the different systems works, and it's basically not designed to handle the kind of traffic that they're having there. This is kind of a debate taking place at a technical level beyond me, and I'm going to guess you as well, Greg.
Oh, very much so.
The fact the experts like McAfee, if McAfee's on your computer every day, well, the guy who built it probably knows something about what he's talking about, and his testimony is kind of unnerving. You don't want to excessively concern people about the risk of their personal information, but on the other hand, you don't want to, you know, see hackers getting access to people's personal information, their financial information, their health information. I mean, you know, particularly in the post-NSA scandal era, we're much more wary about our privacy these days. And the idea of plugging in tons of personal information in a government website that may or may not be secured is rather unnerving. So one more reason to be a little careful when you log into that site, when you're able to log into that site. You know, maybe in a way, the inability to get through is maybe a favor to us all, Greg. It's not a bug, it's a feature.
I'm sure that's how it'll be spun. Jim, have a great weekend.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please be with us again on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend, everyone.